This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 30th, 2018. I'm Caleb Brown. The White House plan to reform our immigration system would result in dramatically less immigration, 22 million people over five decades. That from Cato Institute immigration policy analyst David Beer. The costs would hit both families of would-be immigrants and the U.S. economy. We spoke yesterday. When I hear some people, some of them relatives of mine, talk about immigration, they suggest that for people who want to come to the United States to work, to live, not necessarily even become citizens, that they should get in line. Well, first, when I talk to those people, I'm skeptical that they know exactly what is involved in getting in line or what line they're actually trying to refer to. So can you help some of those people understand what it means to get in line, to receive some status as an immigrant to the United States?
In order to immigrate to the United States, generally you don't get in line. Your whoever is sponsoring you for the visa or the green card, as we call it, which is permanent residency in the United States, must submit a petition on your behalf to the federal government. And so all of the process starts with the sponsor in the United States. And so if you are not a family member of a U.S. citizen or a legal permanent resident, if you don't have U.S. family here, really your only option then is to get an employer to sponsor you. And there are all sorts of regulatory hurdles that employers have to overcome in order to be able to do that. But even taking into account those hurdles, there are only 5,000 visas made available to people without a college degree who want to immigrate based on employment to the country. So 5,000 visas a year compared to the population of unauthorized immigrants, which is estimated to be about 11 million people in the country illegally. So really, the opportunities to immigrate are so narrow for people without U.S. family that it's very difficult for them to immigrate. And even the people who do have U.S. family, it can take many years for them to obtain permanent residency because we limit the number of visas issued to family members of U.S. citizens.
So you estimate that the White House plan, and it is you note that it is rather vague, would ban 22 million people who otherwise would be allowed to immigrate into the United States over 50 years. Who are those people, and what categories do they fall under?
Right. So those categories that the White House plan would primarily target are the adult children of U.S. citizens, as well as siblings of U.S. citizens, and really anyone who's a relative of a legal permanent resident or a legal immigrant who's living here without citizenship yet. So it's really the only category. It's easier to say what categories would be preserved. So really the only people who would be able to immigrate are spouses of U.S. citizens and their children, children of U.S. citizens. So right now, under current law, parents of U.S. citizens can also immigrate without any kind of cap even, but that category would be eliminated under the Trump administration plan.
So you provide here a chart at Cato at Liberty, our blog, and you detail here what the White House plan would eliminate. Spouses and minor children of residents would go from essentially an estimated 94,000 down to zero. These are all the family-sponsored categories. Parents of citizens eliminated. Unmarried adult children of citizens eliminated. Unmarried adult children of residents eliminated. Married adult children of citizens eliminated. And siblings of citizens eliminated. What benefit does the White House claim that that would provide?
Well, they really have pegged a lot of their arguments in favor of this on the principle of the thing. So it's just wrong that we allow what they call extended family members to obtain permanent residency in the United States. I didn't think my brother was an extended family member, or that my parent was an extended family member. But that's literally how the White House is framing this, that it's just ridiculous that we would allow U.S. citizens to sponsor people like their parents or their siblings to come to the United States. And so a lot of it is just based on this, you know, idea that it doesn't make any sense and we shouldn't be doing it. And the other argument that they relied on is the argument about security, and that these people may be a threat to us, and immigrants commit crimes or they commit terrorism, and that's why we should get rid of these categories because they're somehow going to pose some threat to Americans.
Where do these people in these categories that the White House would like to eliminate, where do they come from?
Well, they come from all around the world. I should mention they also get rid of the diversity visa lottery system, which randomly assigns visas to individuals who come from countries that send few immigrants to the United States because they have few ties to Americans. And so that system would also be eliminated, which would take out about 500,000 people over a decade who would have the ability to immigrate to the country. And I actually don't think the diversity visa lottery makes a lot of sense, and there are better options for constructing a legal immigration system. But this proposal would just get rid of it without replacing it with anything that's better for the country or for the economy. Where do they come from? Like I said, they come from all around the world, and you know, but primarily they come from Mexico. That's the largest source of immigration through our family-based system. They also come from Asia, the Philippines in particular, as well as India and China are big sending countries for legal immigrants through the family-sponsored categories.
How should we be structuring our system of family-based migration to the U.S.? It seems like there are just a lot of these categories, and you can make an obvious case for one, you can make an obvious case for another. Maybe some of those categories might be a little harder to make, but how would you structure it?
Well, I would structure it in terms of your immediate family. So you're only able to sponsor people that I would consider to be your immediate family. So your parents, your siblings, and your spouses and children would be eligible for visas. And that's really the de facto system that we had prior to the 1920s when legal immigration to the United States was dramatically cut back by laws intended to save America from the Italians and the Russians and the Eastern European Jews. You know, that system worked out quite well. I mean, even if you look at Donald Trump himself, his family immigrated through chain migration. You know, for example, his great-grandfather's side of the family came over. He followed his sister, who was in the United States. And so you had this chain effect where people were integrated into the United States through their family members. And so there is a benefit to allowing people to come into the country who already have family who's part of American society, and allows them to integrate into American culture more easily than if they just come over without any ties to America at all. And so I think there's a benefit to it. And I also think it's a right of U.S. citizens, right, that we would lose out on the ability to sponsor our family members if we want. And so I'm not in favor of constraining Americans' rights and freedoms. I would like to see them expanded. And really, the problem with our family-sponsored system right now, the main problem with it is that we have these what are called per-country limits. So we limit the number of visas that can go to Mexicans or Filipinos, even though they may have been waiting in line much longer than other applicants in the queue. We say that no country can receive or no nationality can receive more than 7% of the total in any given category, which ultimately makes immigrants from larger countries or countries where there's a greater demand for visas wait much, much longer than other immigrants who, you know, come from smaller countries. And it really doesn't make any sense. And it's really a leftover from this racist system in the 1920s that was specifically intended to prevent an influx of Eastern Europeans or other less favored races or peoples. And so that's the real problem, is that now we have literally at this moment in time, we have Mexican immigrants, siblings of U.S. citizens, who would be scheduled to receive a green card more than 100 years from now. And that's only because we discriminate against them in this manner that we do. And so we need to change the system. We need to reform the system. But there's really nothing wrong with this type of immigration.
What are the economic impacts? You point to the National Academy of Sciences saying the people average immigrants contribute about $90,000 over their lifetimes, over and above whatever they take out in benefits. Can you scale that up and come up with an estimate for what this looks like?
Yeah, so you can certainly multiply times 22 million immigrants over the next 50 years who are going to be excluded under the White House proposal. And that will give you the billions of dollars in losses that the federal government by itself would receive, let alone the cost to the economy. And the reason why it's likely actually higher than the average is because if you look at the education levels of these chain migrants, as the administration likes to call them, or the diversity visa lottery winners, if you look at the education of that population, it's actually above the average for U.S.-born Americans, and actually above the average for all immigrants in general. And so we are going to be losing out on some very skilled individuals who can come over here and actually contribute in a very large way to the U.S. economy. But even the lesser skilled people, we shouldn't ignore the economic contributions that they make in many industries, including construction and agriculture and, you know, roofing and so on. Jobs that Americans, not enough Americans, are willing to do. And so unless you want to drive up the prices of food and housing and real estate and many other aspects of our lives, you want to see this legal immigration continue.
What of the time frame that the White House has laid out here? Presumably, Democrats are expected to do very well very soon in elections in 2018. How much of this could be reversed quickly?
Well, all of it could theoretically be reversed, but it's very difficult to pass immigration legislation. So if any immigration legislation was to be passed, I imagine that the supporters of that legislation would fight very hard to maintain it, and certainly the Trump administration would veto any legislation that would repeal such a big accomplishment. Now, I will say that it did not always used to be the case that the parties were so divided on legal immigration. In fact, as recently as 2008, there was no partisan difference in support for legal immigration levels going up or down or staying the same according to Gallup. And really what we've seen since the rise of the Tea Party and some more extreme right-wing organizations and websites is that it's really not changed the opinions of Republicans much. They're about as supportive of legal immigration as they were on the whole back in 2008. But it's really had a major impact on the Democratic Party, which has sort of taken up the mantle of legal immigration and immigration generally and made them more of a proponent of legal immigration. And so there's been really interesting effect that we've seen over the last decade of the Democratic Party becoming more in favor of increasing legal immigration. And, you know, the Republican Party, as a result of these right-wing attacks on legal immigration, have, you know, stayed about the same on average. But I think there's a certain cohort that we hear about a lot that's very supportive of the president that have become more vocal, and that's produced a backlash on the other side of the aisle.
I guess what I mean when I ask about the time frame that the White House has laid out, when how many of these effects, these changes are going to take effect years down the road?
Yeah, right. So the White House plan would allow the people who are currently in line receive their green cards, at least hypothetically, as long as they stay alive long enough to get to the front of the line. Yeah, you're right. So it would be a more gradual change over time. But my estimate is in that report that more than a quarter of the changes would occur immediately in the first year. And then by the end of the decade, more than 60% of the total decrease in legal immigration on an annual basis would occur in the first year. And then more than 70% after a decade, and then more than 84% after two decades. So most of the changes are happening right away up front. That's going to be something that's felt immediately.
David Beer is an immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast at iTunes and Google Play, and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.